Father, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you.
Yes,
praise God. Father, we thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
I just have to say I thank you for this opportunity to get to be here with you, and what an honor it is to be in the presence of so many wonderful people and such a wonderful and mighty God.
Oh, Jesus,
I feel his presence in this place, and
yes,
I dare not neglect him as he moves in here. I just thank God for every battle that he is helping me fight.
Yes.
And I thank him for every struggle that he is with me in right now. I praise him that I'm not alone. I thank him that he's my best friend. I praise him that I feel him right now. I'm glad that he's in my heart, that he's in my mind, that he's in my family, that he's in my home, that he's in my workplace, that no matter where it is that I go, that God is still with me. If you're thankful for that, give him praise in this place today. Glory to God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Turn with us today in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we'll read some scripture from there. And while I may not be able to do justice like so many wonderful people that are here in front of me, I will do my best, I assure you. We'll read starting at the 18th verse here. And I ask for your prayers. And I know that as God has blessed this in our heart, that he will bless it in yours. So we'll start at verse 18. But he spake these things unto them. Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour.
Yes.
And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they left him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad in all that land. Father, today we just ask that you bless according to your glory in this place. That God, that out of the words of your messenger and a willing heart, that you will reach to each and every one that is here among us and those listening today. God, and let no one go out of here without receiving of your word. But let them not just hear it, God. Let them write it in the tablets of their life. Let it be etched into their mind that they remember how they can apply this each and every day. And Lord, let us not be forgetful. Let us not be vain in what we hear today. But let us remember and let us do with what we hear. And let us be different by what we are listening to. And let us use this to make a difference in ourselves and then unto others. For we ask all these things in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. We pray and give honor to. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated today if you wish. I thank God for this scripture and the inspiration that came of this. And I hope that you will appreciate it like I did. You see, we all are going through present battles and struggles, and just to give you a little bit of what God's been pouring out of our heart, I've been preaching to our church at home about having the heart of a conqueror, about getting a new attitude about the kind of person that you really are. You see, if you're the heart of a conqueror, you're walking into the room already knowing that you've won. And if you've already got the victory, you need to walk into the room of your life knowing you've already won the fight.
Amen.
And if you're already saved and you already know where you're going, then in everything you go through, you already need to assume that you've won.
Amen.
That's the kind of attitude that God's people needs to come into the house of God with.
Yes.
We don't need to beg for victory. We already have victory.
Yes.
And we need to have a mind change and a heart change and an attitude change when it comes to the perspective how we operate our faith.
Amen.
Now we read in this scripture about a story of a man whose compassion was going out for his loved one. And my heart began to sort of connect with the fact that we all have so many things that when it connects with us for things we care about, all of a sudden it's different. When you start to talk to me about your children, or when you start to talk to me about a disease that you're going through, you begin to connect your compassion with the thing that's bothering you about this problem. And then all of a sudden, it's not so hard to pray about it anymore. Amen.
Amen.
And we find in this moment that even in the midst of where Jesus was standing in this story, that there were people that were making music. There were people that were posing as a distraction. And that's what I came to talk about today. They were making noise. We've got a whole world standing in front of us today that are making noise. And we've got a whole lot of personal noise that's going on in our life today. Can I get an amen, oh me, oh my, or go home, whatever you want this morning. However that applies to you is however it applies to you. But I can look at my life today and find a lot of things that I can identify already that are making noise.
Amen.
There are things that I need to already address that I no longer need to listen to, that are just things that the enemy is trying to bring to my mind to distract me from using my faith. For see, if you start using your faith, the devil's got to start backing off from you. But if he can keep making noise and distracting you, it keeps you from using words of victory. But let me tell you, when you don't use words of victory, you're walking in defeat. But God didn't call you to walk in defeat. He called you to stand tall. He's called you to stand in faith and not walk by how you feel or what you see. You see, he's called you to walk in spite of how you feel, in spite of what you're going through, and to have the kind of attitude that says, in spite of how I feel, in spite of what I see, I'm going to stand and have my faith anyway. Is there anybody today that needs that kind of attitude? If there's ever been a day where we need to have the kind of attitude that says, I'm going to be a conqueror of my faith,
amen.
It's today.
Amen.
You see, he told us to dine at the table.
Yes.
And not to beg for crumbs.
Come on.
And it's time that we start walking in the entitlement and empowerment that God has given us to walk in.
Amen.
And you know what that means? It's time to dismiss the minstrels. Amen.
Amen.
It's time to dismiss the distractions.
Yes.
But that also means it may cost you something.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
There are going to be things in your life that if you want a closer walk with God, that you're going to have to come to terms with to say to yourself, maybe I don't need this in my life anymore.
That's true. Yes.
There may be some people you think are helping you be the better version of yourself, that are being a voice in your life that makes you feel better temporarily. But let me tell you this, my friend. Sometimes that temporary comfort is no long-term solution.
Come on.
To the kind of Christian God wants you to be.
Amen.
Amen.
If you want long-term victory, you've got to start winning short-term battles.
Amen.
And you've got to learn to start exercising your faith in the battles that are in front of you today.
Amen.
Listen, we can all stand here today and feel completely comfortable about talking about the kind of people that we want to be 10 years from now. But if we're horribly uncomfortable about talking about the kind of people we want to be right now, If I challenged you to be the kind of person that would stand amongst your peers and dance before the Lord, you start getting a little uncomfortable and looking for the exit signs to find your way out of the house of God. If I challenged you to be the kind of person that would stand amongst someone that was demon possessed and be able to challenge that demon to leave them, you'd start being a little more uncomfortable. But what I'm trying to tell you today is that you don't have to beg to get that kind of victory inside of your life. You've already got it inside of you, and you've just got to start living with that kind of attitude, because it was already empowered in you the very moment you proclaimed your salvation.
Amen.
It's already there. You already have the controls of your life.
Amen.
You already have the ability to steer in another direction. Can I talk about this for a little bit? I was addicted for probably 10 years of my life, feeling like I had no control or changing the pathway of who I was. And until I had an experience with God and the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be as frank as to say, I have one of those Holy Ghost meetings where it took me out and I came up speaking in a heavenly language. And from that moment forward, I spoke in a new English language. And I dressed in a new way. And I talked in a new way. And it transformed my life in a new way. But let me tell you what it done. It not only changed me in that moment, but it taught me something about me. You know what it did? It empowered me with a new attitude on life.
Yes. Amen.
Let me tell you something about having a new attitude on life. You can have all the money in the world and still feel like you have no control.
That's right.
You can have all the friends in the world and still feel like life is not worth living. But you get an encounter with God and have a God that wraps His arms around you and makes you feel like somebody, and you'll be able to conquer the world when you have nothing. You'll stand in front of a giant and be able to take his head. You'll be able to stand in a battle and be able to win it when you've only got 200. You'll be able to stand and be able to survive even when you're in the midst of famine. You'll be able to have victory when everybody else has defeat. You'll be able to lift up people that need healing in this present day and not be defeated.
Amen.
Yes, you can. Look over at your neighbor and say, yes, you can.
Amen.
Yes, you can. I didn't come in here with a belt, but I came in here to give you an attitude adjustment. It's time you get a new attitude. No more of this, no, I can't.
Come on.
No more of this, I can't do it.
Come on.
It's time you empower yourself. You say this to yourself and out loud in front of everybody else this day. Somebody tell it to me. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can be different. Yeah, you can be happy. Yes, you can conquer depression. Yes, you can be different. Yes, you can stop being shy. Yes, you can be called. Yes, you can teach again. Yes, you can preach again. Yes, you can be everything that God's called you to be. Yes, you can stand and praise Him. Yes, you can be bold. Yes, you can serve God. Yes, you can be bold and on fire of Him. Yes, you can take a stand against the enemy. Yes, you can be all that He's called you to be. Yes, you don't have to be afraid. Yes, you can stand and show everybody that we're going to be the kind of children that's looking for His coming in these last days. Yes, you can.
Yes.
Yes, you can. And every day since I've been delivered, I've never looked back. Is it because people tell me you don't have to look back? No. Because He who the Son has set free.
Amen.
You know what that means? I look back and I don't see a person that's no longer living. I see the person who's now passed. I have grieved over my former self. And yeah, there may be a few parts of me that I miss, but the person I've become now is so much better.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there is a part of you that if you'll only let it live, and you put that part of you behind that you don't like about you, you can become the best part of yourself and can start living that passage when it says, I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength.
Yes.
If you're going to conquer everything that you set forth to do, you've got to have the right attitude.
Amen.
And you've got to have faith. But let me tell you something. When you're challenged with your present struggles, it's hard. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to be hard to exercise faith when you're feeling a whole lot of something that's contrary to what the Word's telling you to do. Well, the Word says believe in those things that are not as though they are. But I'm feeling a whole lot of as not as though it actually is. And I've got this one guy dancing in front of me telling me I can believe when I'm feeling a whole lot of not dancing at all and not in the mood for it, brother. Anybody feeling me on that before? Sure you have. You don't have to clap your hands and admit it, but I've been there too. Now, God didn't put in that scripture anywhere that with your faith it came with dancing. Didn't put anywhere that you were going to always feel wonderful when you used your faith. He just simply wanted you to use it.
Amen.
Every time that I am faced with a challenge of faith, I choose to believe the outcome where God is in it more than the outcome where He is absent. That's all that He requires of us to do. And if we can pray, study, and be encouraged to hold on to this notion of our faith. He said He would take that small seed of what we are believing and start blooming it into something that would be as large as a tree. Think about that. He doesn't want you to have to spend your whole life believing that you're going to get the $1 million first. He wants you to be able to have the ability just to believe for the dollar. And if you can be steadfast in believing for a dollar, then guess what? It's not going to be so hard next time to believe for two.
That's right.
Now, each and every day since I've been delivered, I've grown stronger. And if you have went 20, 30 years of just being in church and having no sustenance of faith, then you have missed the benefit of being at church. Because you use your ability to be at church to protect and empower your faith. But that's what I'm here to tell you today. Faith is an attitude.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Faith is an attitude. It is, I'm choosing to believe it in spite of what I'm feeling. That's my challenge to you today. That is what I have come to empower and impart to you today. Lord God, give this church an attitude change. Change, I'm just praying this over you right now. I'm about to come to a close. Change our minds and our hearts that we may believe in what we can understand.
Amen.
And not above what we can comprehend, but what we know can happen.
That's right. Amen. Yes.
And day by day, as we protect what we believe, it becomes more.
Amen.
Now, after 10 years of bondage, I'm coming upon 12 years of complete sobriety and freedom. And I finished college, I got married, I'm in a successful job now, I've been able to move closer to that job now, I've been able to go and travel sites all around the world and do things I never thought I could, because the only version of myself I ever saw was the one that was dead in a ditch somewhere. Because if you have the wrong kind of attitude, you'll never grow.
That's right.
That's true.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And if you come every Sunday with the wrong kind of attitude, you'll never grow.
That's right.
You can have the best preaching, the best teaching, the best singing sitting right in front of you. And if you are not letting God change you, you'll never grow.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus had to dismiss the noise to get the miracle to come forth.
Amen.
And there's got to be things in your life, if you're going to get the kind of attitude that'll move mountains, you've got to start moving out the noise of your life.
That's right, amen.
So I challenge you this day to ask yourself in this moment, what is that noise in my life? What are the things that just bug me? And here's the barometer I present to you. If you are easily distracted, easily bothered, or easily angered, any of the things that hit the easily mark is your noise.
Yes.
Amen. Do you hear me today?
Yes.
Anything that easily moves you outside of your faith is the noise.
Yes, it is.
However silly it is, listen, the enemy will move in silly things. It keeps you from being faithful.
That's right.
Listen, not all marital problems are arguments that are serious.
That's right.
It can be a silly argument. No married couple's going to admit to that in the house of God today. That's all right. It's true. And some of the longest grudges you read in all of history were not of real significance. They weren't. If anything is pushing your buttons every day that's giving you the wrong kind of attitude, listen. You can't conquer anything with the wrong kind of attitude.
That's right.
And let me put it to you like this, just to give you a bit of a warning, because I believe in warning people before they fall into something bad. If your eyes are closed to the truth, then you will not see what is upon you. And if you have a negative outlook in your life, the lights are off and the darkness is around you.
Yes.
And whatever is done in darkness, you will not know it's coming. It will just happen.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, don't invite darkness by having a bad attitude.
That's right, amen.
Change my heart, God.
Yes.
Read the prayers in the Psalms. Even the man that had a heart after God had to say every now and then, renew me.
Yes. That's right.
Cleanse my heart.
Yes.
Make me new.
Yeah.
I'll ask that they come to get a song for us today. I'm going to close right there. Renew me. Restore me.
Amen.
Lead me back to where you are.
Yes.
Take me back to where I can have the right heart. The scripture told us like this. To seek you first, the kingdom of heaven and its right heartness, righteousness, right way of living. To have a heart after what is right. And what did the Bible say it would give us? Everything. All these other things. Everything would be given. So what does that tell us? If we can fight to just have a good outlook and serve God, He'll give us the kingdom.
Amen.
But that's not going to be an easy fight. But look at all the people sitting around you. We're going to fight this together. Encouraging one another, singing in psalms and spiritual hymns, and encouraging the body. But let's not fall asleep. Let's not let each other get down in the dumps. Let's not let the attitudes of the body get distracted from the noise of the world.
Amen.
Let's set our hearts to be focused on the matter at hand. The world has enough noise. We need to be producing the right kind of sound.
Amen.
For without the Spirit of God showing us the way, we're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You know what that means? We can be just as much noise as the world and sit in a sanctuary.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
We get complacent and we'll lose ourselves.
Yes.
Don't lose yourself in here. Don't forget the purpose of why you're sitting here today. You have a calling. You have a purpose. You've got a reason and a purpose to help somebody. But before you can help anybody, you've got to make up your mind. Say, yes, I do. You've got to make up your mind. Are you going to live your life dreading tomorrow? Are you going to get up tomorrow looking forward to today?
Amen.
You can only serve one or two masters. And even in spite of everything Jesus faced, you did not see him in a negative attitude. Can you imagine knowing his fate, still yet serving God with a loving heart? That's powerful. Go ahead and stand with us if you will. This altar is open as they sing. It's time for a change in our mind and in our heart. Lord, transform us to serve you.
Amen.
That we may choose what is right.